Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after, 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast, and as I promised, Karen Post is with us. Karen is the branding diva. She's one of our top branding experts in our brain trust. She's our good friend. Karen, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much. Good to be here.
It's good to have you back, Karen, as always. And Karen, I like talking about branding and brands, and I know you do, because But I do because I've said something earlier before you got here that I thought that that the concept of a brand, a concept of branding, a concept of building brand value in your small business is one of the most, maybe probably the most top, the one in the top three, maybe three or four most important issues that a small business owner should be contemplating for their business, and I'm sure you agree with that.
I do. You know, the brand is like the glue that connects you to the marketplace. I mean, you can have a great idea, a great operation, the best employees in the world, and without that connection to the market, it doesn't really matter a whole bunch.
Well, exactly. And but the thing that I think where the problem is, Karen, you and I probably talked about this a little bit before. And I do it as much as I can because I think it needs to be said over and over again, and that is that a lot of times small business owners think that a brand is way out of their league. The brand is what General Motors has. A brand is what, you know, is what Sony has or something like that. We think of those brands, and we get so intimidated. We think we can't have that, and that's just not true, is it?
That's right. Well, the big thing with that misconception is, those brands are powerful, and they have huge budgets, but their markets are the size of 20 universes. Most
right.
small business owners have a very defined, sometimes geographical, sometimes niche market, so it all becomes relative. So it is as important. There just may be a few less zeros in the budget, but it is as important.
The only difference, you're right, the only difference is the geography of their marketing strategy and the size of the budget.
Correct.
Otherwise, there's no reason why. In fact, I know a town where John's Steakhouse, for example, that's not the real name, is a little bitty family-owned steakhouse, and the big national chain steakhouse came to town. And he was really concerned about that. And you know what? He's just kicking their rear end.
I bet.
And because he understood that he had a brand, that he had something, that he wasn't trying to conquer the world. He was just trying to conquer his little corner of the world.
Right, and he's been there for a while. And even if you look at some of these huge mega brands that we're all familiar with, most of them started as small entrepreneurial businesses at the
right.
very beginning. Yeah, so the small business owner needs to get that misconception out of their mind and start branding, and they will notice the difference on their bottom line and everything that they do.
It's one of the myths in the marketplace is that small business owners can't have a brand. What about brand names? Karen, let's talk about brand names. How big a deal is it to have a brand name?
A brand name is a huge deal. I talk about brand names as extra octane in your branding tank. Now, it's not to say that you can have a bad name and that you're going to be an unsuccessful business. That's generally not the case. But if you have a great name, it makes the whole process easier. A lot of times it can take less resources because you've got this momentum behind a name that is memorable, that has some distinctive feature to it, that has a good sound to it. And a lot of small business owners tend to get stuck in a box when they start thinking about names, and they use their left side of their brain, and they are very logical in how they name their companies. And branding is very emotional, mm-hmm. and many times very obscure names can have a lot more horsepower than logical names. I mean, if you think about a name like Yahoo or Nike or Google or FUBU, I mean, those names, sitting at a boardroom table years ago, probably people would go, now, what does that have to do with what we're doing? But look at the success of those names, mm-hmm. because they're memorable, they're easy to say, they're easy to spell. And so I really encourage business owners to challenge the norm and to not take the logical approach with their name, but to come up with something that's much more emotional.
Well, absolutely. And I have a friend who, a guy named Phil Nolman, who says he took the sound of the word branding, and he said, you know, he talked about the last part of that word, ding. You know, he said your brand, you know, he talks about your brand or your brand name, as you're talking about, being the ding that goes off in people's mind when they need something, when they think about you. When they think about whatever they sell, you know, is the name and or the way that you meet their need, that what they need with your brand is what makes the ding go off in their mind.
And branding is about being distinctive. So if you call your printing company the Premier Printing Company or your technology firm Advanced Technology, that just sounds like one of many commodities that are probably fighting for space in your sector. So
yeah,
I think that great brand names, number one, really need to be emotional. They need to stick to the brain and be memorable and have some compelling sound, eye appeal, and have distinct qualities. A great brand name needs to have a personality, human-like traits, and it needs to have depth. It needs to be able to be leveraged in promotional and advertising and PR and other communication programs.
You know, I see people who have a brand for their company that doesn't tell me anything about what they do. It doesn't. Maybe it's even disconnected. It actually sends me in a different direction. It not only doesn't tell me what they do or leave me, you know, knowing nothing, it actually diverts me, my attention, so to speak. It blows. I don't understand that.
Yeah, and a lot of companies, you know, sometimes they come up with a great name, but then they don't execute it,
right,
or they don't build frequency with their message, and that's a big factor. I mean, if you look at these companies that I mentioned, these big companies like a Nike or a Google, without their market presence, those names would not be so strong. I mean,
right. They've
been very effective in continuing to tell their story. So if you do take the obscure, more abstract approach, you have got to make sure you have a strong communication program.
Right. Karen Post, ladies and gentlemen, the branding diva. She's going to be right back after these messages. We're going to get her to help us come up with some brand names right after these messages. 20 after. Stay with us.
I don't feel so beautiful morning.
We're back. It's 23 after. 800-531-3815. Toll free coast to coast. Karen Post is our guest. She is the branding diva. And Karen, we would like to have your website, please.
My website is www.brandingdiva.com.
All right. And what will we find when we get there?
You will find lots of great articles, past issues of my newsletter that I do quarterly that's called The Brain Tattoo. And matter of fact, this current issue addresses this whole brand naming idea and goes in a lot of detail to help people figure out how they can create a brand name, and they can find all those back issues on my site also.
And they can subscribe to your newsletter there too,
yes,
as well, right?
And it's free. All they need to do is type in their email address and they will be a Brain Tattoo subscriber.
Folks, check that out when you get a chance and subscribe to her newsletter, because I'll tell you, I really think this is something that I believe, small business owners, that if you'll focus on the power of having a brand and developing it and building it and naming it and supporting it in the marketplace and you know, integrating it into all of the execution of your business model, if you'll do that, I believe that you will grow, your business will grow just from that activity alone. Karen, what do you think?
I agree. Brand names are very powerful, and just don't use copycat names. Be original.
Right, yeah.
Don't do something that's hard to pronounce or spell, and just be compelling and try to think, like you said, that ing factor.
Right. What about, let's talk about, you were mentioning the name, the brand name. How can we do what you said? How can we come up with some names, with a name that's original, that is intuitive, that tells something, but yet does it? It has to tell something, but be very, very, very brief, right?
Right. You know, in my article, when I talk about branding, I say that it's an art, a skill, and there is definitely some luck involved with creating the winning name. It's my suggestion that you come up with a whole bunch of possibilities that are short and snappy and easy to say and easy to spell. And then this is a process. It probably will not happen in one meeting or one day. Mm-hmm. Some companies engage naming firms that specialize in this area, and that can certainly be a solution. And while it is an investment, if you think that your name may be with your company for 10, 20, 30 years, you know, you divide that up by what you're investing in your name, and mm-hmm. it's a good investment. So that may be an option for some folks.
I interviewed a guy one time on the show a long time ago. I need to get him back on. Now that I think about it, the name of his business was Whatchamacallit, and that's what he did. He helped people name their businesses.
That's great. That's great. I like that.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is, Karen, is it doesn't have to me, a brand doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be cute or snappy or what. I mean, it'd be great if you can come up with that, but if it just tells the story, if it's just intuitive. You know, Nike, if Nike hadn't spent hundreds of millions of dollars letting you know that Nike means tennis shoes, you wouldn't know what Nike was. I mean,
and
some of the others. And so most of us aren't going to spend, we're not going to spend that kind of money. We don't have that kind of a budget. And so it needs to be something that tells people, the brand tells them what you do.
But let me tell you about Nike. Nike, well, I don't know if you know what Nike means. It's the Greek goddess of victory.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Phil Knight actually paid nothing for that name. One of his employees thought of the name, and then later they paid a graphic designer $35 to create that trademark.
The swoosh. Well, but the thing is, but most people don't know what that means. I mean, it's just not in our common vocabulary.
Hugely powerful because of their execution.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And so you know.
Well, and they even had a campaign that's kind of had fun with the name. Remember the Nike and the Bikey commercials?
Yeah.
And all that?
So
that probably did more to tattoo people with Nike than anything. But we don't have that, most of us. We don't have as much of an ability to be out there in the marketplaces they do, and so I think we need to. I don't know if you agree with me. I personally would rather people, if they can't come up with with something that is snappy and clever, you know, that to me the default step is make sure that it tells a story.
Right. Well, you know, I think they're equally important. I tend to me being the branding evangelist, and branding is about distinction. I think in most cases there are unique names and unique stories that can be told, mm-hmm. and those are really going to be the winners in this big branding game, whether you're a small business or a huge operation.
Don't we need to steer clear of cliches, though, like touch of class and things like that? I mean, those are...
Oh, I definitely, because those are overdone, oversaid,
yeah.
And really have very little impact on the mind of the buying market, because everybody says that. And even in taglines, using words like quality, performance, and superior, this and that, those words are all overused and oversaid. So I think, to summarize, whether it's your brand name or your tagline or how you articulate your story, is I challenge your listeners to be fresh and be different and be memorable, and they will add so much momentum to their whole branding initiative.
Well said, Karen. Thank you for your time today. And another thing, folks, that I'd like to encourage you to do is go to Karen's website. That's brandingdiva.com. And check out all the information she has there. Subscribe to her free quarterly newsletter. Karen Post, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Thanks for having me, and good luck.
We'll see you next time.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Quick break. I'll be right back with John Deeney. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.